Sorry, I could. That was. Sorry.
It is now 5:01 p.m. and the Pacific City Joint Walk and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors meeting is now in session. As per a video conference call, and I just wanted to point out before we get too started, you notice we have quite a bit of things on the agenda this evening, so we'll try to get through them all in a reasonable amount of time. We don't start yakking too much, but we'll start off with a roll call. Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
Okay. Sean Carl.
Here.
And I'm the director, Tom Donahue. Here. Okay. The minutes for the August 9th, 2022 business meeting. Are there any corrections or omissions that anyone noticed? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes for August 9th. Yes.
Tom, I have a comment regarding the minutes.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
I did not attend the meeting, which you all know, but okay, I'm not sure what to do. Is that the same for everyone?
No, you seem to be especially slow tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I did not attend the meeting, but I did listen recorded version of it, and I noticed a discrepancy between the minutes and what I heard or understood John to say regarding the regarding the water rights discussion. And I understood him to say that he was backtracking or withdrawing his report workshop because our options are quite limited at this time, and the minutes seem to show that he was taking back that recommendation. So I didn't think that that minutes as they were written in concert with what I heard on the recording. So if I that any approval of the minutes I will not vote on, but any approval of the minutes provide for a correction. And I did ask that question of John and Rochelle. Rochelle listened to the recording herself and concurred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I concur with that as well. I believe that was the intent.
Yeah.
Okay, then I would entertain a motion amending that conversation between John and Rochelle.
I move that we accept the minutes of the August 9th, 2022 business meeting as corrected.
Was that you, Cameron?
Yes, sir.
Did you second? Okay, we have a motion and a second to the August 9th. 2022 business meeting minutes as corrected. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and you couldn't vote, is that correct, under the rules?
Right. I abstain. Yes. 3 ayes, 1 abstention.
Okay, the motion carries. Let's move on to item 4, the financial report, accounts payable for August 15th and August 31st. Are there any questions concerning the accounts payable? Cameron?
Yeah, I got a couple. Is Rochelle?
Go ahead. Not yet.
Page 1, there was a bill for $200 million Cameron Brand in cubic pair. And what is that?
I'm sorry, Cameron. I'm probably going to have you repeat it. We seem to be having technical difficulty with a couple of folks here. Could you repeat that, please?
It was about 7 down. It was for $293.08 for Cameron Brand in incubulator repair.
Oh. Yes, our BOD incubator, BOD being one of our primary compliance tests we run on the wastewater side of things, our BOD incubator conked out on us, and we had to have a couple of repair visits by an appliance repairman, and that is what that bill is for.
What does BOD stand for?
Biochemical oxygen demand.
And then I seen there's 2 for employee appreciation.
I'm trying to think of that. What that was? That may have been a lunch that we had as a group.
Employee appreciation. Do you guys have burgers and in Brooklyn?
Yeah, we might be guilty of that. Rochelle, hopefully she can join us. I think she could answer that one more conclusively than I could. But I'm quite certain it was for a team lunch.
How about some burgers for the board?
I'll definitely keep you in mind. I'll keep you in mind for sure.
Was that for the... John, was that the instance for an employee who finished up one of their tests
not this occasion.
Burgers for the board.
yeah, not on this occasion. I think that this might have been, I don't want to speak out of turn. I'm not 100% sure, but I do recall we had what we like to call a team building lunch, where we occasionally just reward the staff with some pizza or something else. I know we had one of those recently. I'm guessing that is what it is, but I'm expecting Rochelle to join us before too long, hopefully, and if not, we can definitely get back to you on that one. I'm not 100% sure, Cameron, but I'm sure Rochelle would know. Is anybody
else?
There was quite a few for calipers, or right down below there for $46.80. There was a couple for that item.
Let's see. Well, I'll have to I don't have that in front of me. I'll have to open it up, Cameron. I mean, it looks like we're really having trouble with Ann and Cameron's feed tonight for some reason.
He was referring to a credit card charge for capacitors.
Oh, capacitors. Okay, well, these would be the capacitors, the start and run capacitors in our lift stations.
I had a hard time getting in. There's a couple of those.
Yeah. Yeah, it's those capacitors have a tendency to blow.
Global network support for Horn Creek, Florida, 1,325.
Yeah, I think that would have been for IT support out at Horn Creek. And we had some issues out there. And we needed their help and assistance. I know that that's likely what the charge was, especially if it says Horn Creek. We did have some computer server issues out there, and I'm quite certain that's what that charge is for, Cameron.
So is that also anything to do with our new hookup to the internet line that would run out there?
No, I think it had to do...
The internet line?
No.
Run out to
No, I think it had to do with just some additional server configuration that we needed.
Okay. We got more locks and knobs. Did we have to change our keys?
We had a couple of problems. One with my office door, the exterior door. I've had chronic problems with it, and we had to call a locksmith to come out and to replace the lock. And while he was there, he replaced a couple other locks that were faulty, and we were needing. Needing replacements or servicing with?
All right, a twofer. We like them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's the RJM equipment and sales for $11,952.50.
Yeah, that's for... that's for our acoustic leak detection equipment.
How's that working out?
It's working good. We're waiting for a couple of additional accessories for our correlator, and those should be coming soon. But the leak detection equipment is working fine. It's got a correlator function, which is very useful, but we need a couple of transmitters for that, and we're still waiting on those parts. But that $11,000 was for the master kit, and probably 80%, 85% of our equipment for that purpose is related to that charge.
So is there going to be an additional charge for what's coming in then for the rest of it?
There will, but it'll be significantly less. We just need to get a couple of transmitters. I actually knew that we needed to get a couple of accessories to take the full or to use the equipment to its fullest capacity. We were expecting this equipment to arrive during the last fiscal year, and I had to wait until the new fiscal year to order the additional accessories. That's definitely what that's for.
Okay. And then, Hydrox. Boy, that sure jumped up again in price.
Yeah. Chemical costs are continuing to go up. I will say I just got a notice that because of a rail... strike, that chlorine is going to be hard to come by. So we need to we need to make sure that we've got plenty of that on hand, because most of that comes our direction via rail car. And I've been told that due to a rail strike, it's going to interfere with our ability to get chlorine. So, you know, for a variety of reasons, chemicals still keep going up, supply chain shortages, whatever. I'm expecting the cost of chlorine to go up noticeably too now, at least until the supply issues with that just get better.
Are we going to get into a position that we're not going to have chemicals to treat our facility? I mean, to where it might possibly shut us down?
No, but I think it's still prudent to be aware that there could be challenges and to order early and often. But it would not surprise me if we see additional cost increases on the chemical front, especially on the chlorine side.
Right. I just don't want to see us get to a position where we don't have any and we're in a brownout, kind of, you would say. No pun intended.
Yeah, well, we're doing our best to anticipate these shortages and to ensure that we, like I say, we order early and often. I think that's probably the best thing we can do.
Okay. I believe that's what I got. Thank you.
Okay. Sean, did you have something on your mind?
Yeah, just one question. On the August 15th, the $9,000 payment to Schwabe, what was the legal cost with the cross connection?
Oh, well, I had made an inquiry with Schwabe. I was just doing kind of checking with them to check the legality of a couple of things related to our cross connection program. Some of you may recall that 20 years ago the authority made a decision to require backflow preventers on all service lines. We still have some backflow preventers on service lines to single family dwellings that were installed 20 years ago that may or may not be required to be there just from a cross connection hazard standpoint. These are devices that we're still testing every single year, and I just wanted to check with Schwabe about the legality of, trying to see if we can further correct a few mistakes we made 20 years ago, and to do it in a legally defensible way. I can tell you that that's not what that whole bill was for, but that was the issue related to the cross connection. It's kind of a sensitive issue. There may be legal ramifications. And I just wanted to consult with them to figure out what is within our capability to do about correcting some issues that we created for ourselves 20 years ago.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. Yeah, the rest of the bill I was okay with, so thanks.
I did notice, John, that there was a second bill to Schwab and Williamson at the end of the month that relate to the same same issue from the earlier bill.
No, that pertains more to the legal expertise and assistance when it comes to our water rights and our compliance with our current permit conditions.
Okay. I also saw at the end of the month there was a Paul Corporation Horn Creek 24/7 service contract. Is that an annual $2,650? Is that?
Yeah, that is. I'm quite
Horn Creek.
Yeah, Tom, Paul is the manufacturer of our microfiltration membrane system, and I'm quite sure it's for ongoing technical support contract for everything related to that micro membrane filtration system.
And the only other thing I had a question about is the August 31st consolidated supply. It says meters new installation, and it was like almost $6,000. What kind of meters were those?
Well, the water meters.
Spares.
Well, yes and no. The water meters that we use with our AMR system have computer chips in them, and those have been extremely hard to come by. We had this order in place for those for 9 months with very little likelihood that we were going to see them at any point in time. As you all know, we not very long ago went through and replaced all our water meters with AMR water meters, and we only had, you know, a few dozen left to replace, and those meters became unavailable as we were trying to order those and get the rest of those installed. We waited a long time wanting to get exactly what we had in there before. It got to the point where we just had to make a decision and go with something slightly different. There's still a Mueller product. There's still an AMR meter, but they're a different model than what we installed wholesale across our system a year or year and a half ago, but we just got to the point where we had no choice, so we went ahead and purchased those meters, and some of those will be spares, and we get new developments all the time, and so, you know, we do have an ongoing need for new water meters, and we needed to get the rest of the water meters to finish the job that we started back in February of, I think it was 2021. So that's what those were for.
Are they compatible system when we upgrade to maybe total radio control of all that? Okay.
They're all compatible with that. The primary thing we'll need for that is just a transmitter, a receiver, kind of an antenna system at the office. All of these meters are compatible with that system if we take the additional steps to get the signal, the radio tower, to send and receive those signals from the meters directly to our office. So they're all compatible.
Okay. And do you
have any questions about accounts payable?
No, I do not.
Okay. If there's no further questions, the financial report for accounts payable for August 15th and August 31st, 2022. Sean.
I make a motion that we...
August 15th and August 2022.
I'll second.
So,
okay.
I tried to make a motion, so thank you.
Okay, I accept that. So we have a motion and second. The accounts payable reported for August 15th and August 30th, 22 are all those signify by stating aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
I think that's unanimous, or do we have one? Oh, we have an aye. We have unanimous. Unanimous. For the general fund year report for 22-23, are there any comments about it? That is financial report number 4B. Any comments or discussion? If none, we'll move on to item 5, manager's report. I had a lengthy report, John. What can you summarize for us?
Before I summarize that, I may have missed it. Did we need a motion to approve the fiscal year for 22-23, or we did not? Okay. Well, I know we've got a very ambitious agenda, so I'll just touch on a few of the highlights. Probably the most notable thing is during the month of August, we received an unexpectedly high BOD test result. We just talked a little bit about what that is. BOD is one of the primary conditions and parameters on our discharge permit on the wastewater side. We received a result that I think is not representative. It was very high. It was more than twice as high as any previous result we've had since the new SBR plant went online back in January of 2019. A couple of things about this was unusual. One, as I've already indicated, we had a breakdown of our BOD incubator, which forced us to send the samples out to a contract lab. But in this case, it appears as though that there was some biological growth detected in our effluent sample, and very unusual, and it turned out to be a microorganism called iron bacteria. They metabolize iron and consume iron in the process. I'm not sure where this would have come from. Iron bacteria is very common. You find it in distribution systems and collection systems, but to have them come through in sufficient quantity to cause our BOD test result to come in so high was very unusual. We're still trying to determine where this came from. The only thing I can think of is maybe there was a slug of it growing in our composite sampler tubing. We have composite samplers that take a sample every hour for 24 hours, and then that's what we use to run our BOD test on. The iron bacteria was very high in the sample. As I say, we're still trying to figure out where it came from, but we've never seen this before. And it caused, because they consume oxygen while they metabolize inorganic constituents in the wastewater, the intent of the BOD test is to measure the oxygen uptake from microorganisms that consume organics, not inorganics. And it's clear that this iron bacteria that found its way into our sample bottle caused our high result. What that tells me is that the test result is not representative. I believe the test result was accurate, but it's not representative. And I'm currently, it caused us to violate a few of the parameters on our discharge permit. We haven't had a discharge permit violation in recent memory. It's very rare for us. Usually our BOD test results are around 5 milligrams per liter or less. The results of this test was over 40 milligrams per liter. And that's what caused our problems from a compliance standpoint. I am petitioning DEQ to invalidate the result based on this unexpected finding of this iron bacteria in our effluent sample. Petitioning them to invalidate the result based on the fact that it's clearly not representative of our effluent water quality, and it's not representative of the effectiveness of our wastewater treatment system. This is usually a tough thing because the bar is set very high to invalidate a test result. But I don't know where this will wind up, but I am working with DEQ to see if they will invalidate the result. But I don't know if they will or not. As I say, they set the bar by design very high to invalidate results, and we'll have to see if I can build a strong enough business case to convince them to do that. The problem is they need almost ironclad proof that this was the cause of the problem. I think it's pretty clearly was the cause of the problem. Can I prove it? Probably not. I don't have any irrefutable evidence that it was the iron bacteria that caused the high BOD result, but the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming. So I'm disappointed to report this, but hopefully...
Cameron, you had a question, John?
Yeah, I do. John, is
Cameron,
there
you had a question?
Yeah. John, you don't know about your results until you get it back from the test? So there was like no way you knew when you shipped it out that it was. Now, when you shipped it out, could you do another test to see where it is at now?
Well, the problem is it's the problem with the BOD test is it's a 5-day test. You have to let it incubate for 5 days, and you don't know the results until after the 5 days and you measure the remaining oxygen in the bottle. And by then, it's pretty late to do anything about it, and it's difficult to go back and try to figure out what happened.
So, but have you checked it again and seen how that?
Well, we've gotten two sets of results on different tests since this result, and both results were about two milligrams per liter, and this one sample was over 40.
Just the freak thing.
Yeah, it was very unexpected, very unusual, but it's never happened before. I don't expect it to happen again, but our sample got contaminated with iron oxidizing bacteria, and that's not what you're intended to measure. The test is not intended to measure the oxygen uptake from bacteria that don't normally contribute to the treatment of our wastewater. And that's exactly what happened on this test.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'll keep everybody posted in terms of whether we can get this invalidated. Time will tell. I don't know that for sure, but it certainly, preliminary indications is that the DEQ will take a pretty rigid stand on this simply because there's fear of invalidating a valid result, and they don't want to do that. That's why the bar is set very high. Yeah, so any more questions
okay,
about that?
Head on.
The only, you know, looking at... Hello? Sean? Are you experiencing the same problems that I'm experiencing, hearing and seeing the other folks?
Yeah, it does seem like Cameron and Ann especially are having some quite a bit of internet issues, and then every once in a while, Tom does. Is that what you're seeing, John?
That's exactly what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing any issues with your feed or my feed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You guys are coming in quick.
Can you hear me? Yeah, because I was watching, and then all of a sudden John's sound went off, so I had to log back in. I'm not sure what's causing this.
Yeah, I'm not either. It's primarily your feed and Cameron's feed. Although we are having periodic problems with Tom's feed as well. It's making it a little difficult.
I hear you wrong, John.
Okay, good. Unless you know,
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Okay. Well, the only other thing that I would probably go into. To mention about the manager's report, unless anybody has any questions, is I didn't want to miss the opportunity to recognize Dale Pesterfield. Dale passed 2 certification tests in a single day several weeks ago. So very pleased to report that. Congratulations to Dale, and I just wanted to recognize him.
That's awesome. Please pass on our thanks.
Absolutely. Please share our congratulations to
If there's no other questions, Tom, I'll give you back the floor.
Okay. Shop to have a question.
Yeah, just real quick. Hopefully, you know, I see your comment about the STRs, John. And just going forward, I know this is a hot button issue in the county right now across the board. And so I would be curious just in a general way to kind of get an understanding of how much use we see from all of our various different types of accounts, whether it be residential versus STR versus commercial, as we go forward and have to, you know, eventually think about some sort of funding mechanisms for any major projects we may encounter. I'd just be curious to get a sense of the breakdown with consumption and revenue generated by those categories.
Well, I think, and you're talking about residential versus commercial, and I think you mentioned the third category. What was that?
The short-term rental.
Oh, the short-term rental. Well, these are times I really wish Rochelle was here. But I think what I believe is I think residential still leads the way. I think... short-term rentals are a big part of that and have gotten bigger recently. I think our commercial counts, I'm still lag behind the others just because, you know, we don't have a huge number of commercial accounts, but, you know, they do play a part. Sean, before I put my foot in my mouth, I'd like to really check and see if I can get you an answer instead of say something that is incorrect or something that I may have to speculate about more than I really want to.
Yeah, I'm not looking for anything right now. I just, going forward, you know, I think it'd be interesting to get a sense of where that stuff is coming from,
yeah,
and what the breakdown of use is, and I think this is going to come up more often, so it'd just be good to have a sense of what those ratios are.
Yeah, I will definitely get that for you. I think I could make an educated guess on it, but I'm just reluctant to say something that to speculate and then be wrong. So
sure.
Let me I'll definitely consult with Rochelle about that. She's tuned into that type of metric more on a daily basis than I am. And if I can get back to you on that, I'd like to do that.
Great, thank you.
Okay, let's move on to... go ahead.
It's nice to see that, you know, our unaccounted unbilled water percentage is going down. Hopefully that leak detection equipment will start... nailing some of these issues. So good job on that. Thank you. Still think it's under the water.
Yeah. Improving.
Okay, let's move on to item 6 and unfinished business. Water master plan, item A. Where are we at, John?
Yeah, well, I met with Parametrics about this. And, you know, we've been waiting a long time. We all know that. Of course, we had to shift some focus from that over to the water management and conservation plan to meet a deadline. But that's behind us. I will tie in just briefly to one of our new business items. They have asked for a contract extension till the end of the year. They're now telling me that to expect a draft no later than the 1st of November, and they'd like to do an extension till the end of the year just so that we've got adequate time for a review and comment process. One of the things they're wrestling with right now is when you put these plans together, you know, either on the water or the wastewater side, one of the key parameters that they look at is a peak daily demand. And on the water side, it's easy to know what that means. On the wastewater side, the focus is kind of on peak loading to the wastewater treatment plant. Our peak loading to the wastewater treatment plant doesn't necessarily happen in the summer when you might expect, and we've got a lot of people in town. Our peak loading, our highest days of the year have a tendency to happen during the winter time, during heavy rain events, especially during flooding events of the Nestucca River. And we get a lot of inflow and infiltration into our treatment plant. And, you know, as I think most of you know, we've got step systems that line that river that are often completely underwater during those days in the winter where the river floods. Now, we do take precautions. We shut off the step systems when we know that's coming. But it's clear that our peak loading at the treatment plant doesn't happen in the summer. It happens during the winter with these heavy rain events. And they're struggling a little bit to try to figure out how to model that. But other than that, I'm told the plan is still in calibration. We should get it back. We should get the draft by the 1st of November with time to... comment, review and comment on it, and to revise the plan before the end of the year. But that's kind of what I know about the wastewater master plan. It was hard to talk about that without tying it into one of our new business items, but we can touch on that when we get there. But I guess that's probably the best update I can give at this time about the wastewater master plan.
John? Is this going to cost us more money down the road? I mean, extending it?
No. In fact, if you look at the contract extension document that is in the board packet, There's no increase in cost whatsoever. They're just asking for a little more time.
I guess my question would be, is an extension through the end of the year enough time? I mean, if we go on past experience, if they say they're going to get it to us by November 1st, that's probably November 15th. So then that means we've got, you know, Thanksgiving after that, and then we've got the beginning of the year, and then we've got to get board to have plenty of time to review it. So, I mean, is that contract extension enough time, or do we need to push it into January or February?
Well, and I asked them that, they feel like the end of the year is enough time, and I don't think that they will come back to us with another contract extension. I think that that's the last thing they want to do, and I think that I'm also reluctant to give them too much latitude because I think they'll take it. I think if we agree to this contract extension, you know, the end of the year is not that far off, but I've had discussions with them. They've made a commitment to have it done by then. They know I'm expecting to have it done by then, and they know that they don't want to be in a position where they have to come back to us again for a contract extension. So I think that holding their feet to the fire on this, and I think we need to agree to the extension because I believe the current contract has expired, but I'm reluctant to give them much. I just don't want to invite more latitude than we're already agreeing to.
We've given them quite a bit in the past.
This is the second extension.
I think this is the first extension, and I would not expect another. I have not seen another extension besides this one, and so I think this is the first extension, and I trust this will be the only extension that is necessary.
Okay.
Tom?
Moving on. Go ahead, Cameron.
I'll tell you what. You know, we've been in business with them for a long time. And it, to me, this is, sounds, they've been dragging before when we were on the project of other things. And this, I just think they've been just taking advantage of us. I know you had to light a fire on them on the other one. And then, of course, we added that other project to them. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm getting tired of it.
Well, I think we're all losing a little patience. I think that this has been going on for 2 to 3 years now. And I think they know that we're getting impatient. And I know they sense that, and actually they don't have to sense it. I've told them that, you know, we've been waiting for this for a long time, and it's time to deliver. The only reason that I'm showing some additional patience is because when they put this contract together and embarked on this project, I don't think the water management and conservation plan was necessarily on our radar screen, and it probably should have been. But I do know that did divert resources on this significantly for a period of time. And you know, but that only goes so far. So they know that it's time to get it done. And I've had those conversations with them, and I think that they will keep this timeline.
I think maybe it's time to start looking for another engineering project firm to see if we can get a better deal or something else. I know it's not always greener on the other side, but we've been with them ever since, and I think they're just taking advantage of. Yeah. Even though we're small fries, I just.
Well, I think we're all impatient, or getting impatient, rightfully so. And I think they sense that. You know, one thing about this engineering firm is they do know us quite well. They know our system quite well, even though sometimes with, you know, what they put together for us, it might make you wonder. Coming from an engineering background and working with engineers my whole life, it's hard to say if we made a change, whether we'd be happy or not. I can say that there is a significant cost savings by working with a engineering firm that already knows us very well. If we were to hire somebody else, we'd have to pay a lot of money to get them up to speed on our system. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm reluctant to do anything too hasty. But I'll continue to monitor the performance, and if I continue to see some things that concern me, we can definitely make a move. But there will be a very long learning curve for a new system, to learn our system, or for a new firm to learn our system, I should say. But, you know, your comments are well taken, Cameron.
Thank you.
And we're actually talking about looking at another firm. So we're not, you know, we're worried. Anyway, move on to Item B, 6B, Water Management and Conservation Plan. It is done. Is there anything we need to note about that, John?
Well, it's done. It was submitted to the Oregon Water Resources Department for review and approval. They came back with a handful of things they wanted us to revise. And so, you know, those relatively small changes were made. It was submitted back to the Oregon Water Resources Department for approval. And we're still waiting for that final approval. One of the difficulties there is that the person that had reviewed our plan the first time, and this is somebody who'd been there a long time in this role, this person has now changed roles, and the person that reviewed our plan the first time is not the same person who's reviewing our plan after the revisions that were made. And I still haven't seen it. I'm waiting to get the final approval and the final order from the Oregon Water Resources Department before I come to the board with my recommendations about the water rights. I don't think it's going to change, but yet I want to see what the final order approving our plan is before I come to the board, just in case there's something unexpected. But unfortunately, we're still waiting for the Oregon Water Resources Department to give us the final approval after the handful of minor revisions that were made. You'd think it wouldn't take that long at this point, but as I say, somebody's new in the role, and I assume that's why it's taking longer than expected. But I am expecting to get final approval from the Water Resources Department any day now. And outside of that, the plan is essentially done. We just need to get that final approval.
Okay, John, thank you. So item from C6D, the authority to review. I only have a couple of comments on that. I hope all of you have gotten a copy of John's self-assessment, and I need your comments back to me by 18th so that I can collate all your answers and comments so we're ready for the... I will mail those comments in a final batch back to the board on the 4th. To everybody's comments, the next session on the 11th of October. At that same executive session, I'd like to include your recommendations for changing the form. And I've already put together a that I will send to you prior to that executive session, before the or after the regular meeting. We'll probably do it. I'm not sure. Probably after. And what I had in mind was taking the book form and the original six management goals, and that I took out any reference to staff in those competency goals, and then added a question at the end of the goals reflecting the comments and summary that we received from our HR consultant that reflected staff's opinion. That was just my idea of what we were to do with a new form. I chatted with John about this when I came to do another map, and he had a suggestion for an additional category. John, would you explain a little?
Well, yeah. Factory. Yeah, as long as we're making... Yeah, as long as we're making improvements to the form, one thing I would like to see is, well, currently there's three ratings on the form. There's a needs improvement, there's a satisfactory, and there's an excellent. My feeling is that there's a big gap between satisfactory and excellent, and I'd like to add a category of good. Between those, because it just seems like satisfactory or excellent or having those as the only choices are almost two extremes. I think in many cases, I wouldn't necessarily categorize myself during my self-assessment as satisfactory or good. I often wish there was a rating in between, and that would be one of the. That would be probably the primary suggestion I would give for improvement.
Okay. Well, what I just described to you was a starting point. And I will get that document to you. And it would still, with the tablet, and a table-like form that the original to change the wording. And this is just a starting point. I expect everyone will get that out soon as possible, actually. And so you have a chance to look at my comments, and you can work with them to put your own comments in there when we meet executive, and then we'll discuss at that time and probably a meeting or two after. So that's all I had on the authority manager review. Ann, are you still with us?
Tom? Tom? Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Good.
I feel like we need to clarify a point that the discussion of the revision of the process and the form is not appropriate under executive session rules. The only thing we can discuss under executive session is that the specific review of the period of time that we're discussing. So any discussion about the process and the form itself, not including evaluation of John at the moment, that discussion of form and process would have to take place in a public meeting on the record.
Would a workshop be more appropriate to work on the full form?
I personally think that might depend on what you gather in terms of the comments from various board members. And so I think we might reserve judgment on that until we have the first pass at suggested revisions, because any suggested revisions will not affect this current process that we're involved in. So we have a year to revise the form and the process.
I understand. I didn't want to make it a personal priority, so we get this thing done. So I tend to agree with you that an executive session
is
critically important. Okay. Does anyone else need comments about the authority manager review?
Okay,
let's move on to new business.
Okay.
Well, we'll hold judgment on that after the executive session using the current process. But you can make it as soon as possible after that, so we have plenty of time to work on it. We have a director vacancy, and under new business, there was a form that Rochelle had put together. I guess it's been used before. And what I was thinking, my thinking is, I'd like, since the new director would fill out his current talk with us, it would be up until June 30th of the year. I'd like the director on board voted on in November and come on board the month of December, so that person has a good 6-7 months to kind of understand how we and feel comfortable about the running game or any that particular form. I would think we need to have we need to advertise probably in the Sun as well the Headlight Herald, so, but it has to be noted they have to live in this district. And also at the post office, we have a vacancy for a qualified individual. Anyone have any comments about this basic process? John? John?
Sorry, just wanted to click my mic. I just want to, I think if I'm correct, and Tom, you probably would be able to determine this, whoever we appoint would then have to face election in the next regularly scheduled Tillamook County election. I don't think they would serve the complete term of Carolyn. I think they serve just until the next scheduled election. Is that correct?
No, I think
I don't the election think that would be is correct.
But the okay, what time do you think that, Dan?
According to my reading of the state rules, is you appoint a person to fill the vacancy that serves the remainder of the term, director who left the position, and then that person may or may not choose to run for that board position in a full-time capacity. And this was something that I did way back when I was first on the board, because Doug Howden took a second elected position, which is not allowed in the state or in the county anyway. And so he went to Tillamook PUD, and I applied and was accepted and filled out the remainder of his term of office.
Tom,
we can jump. That is my recollection and my understanding of reading the rules.
Phil,
Tom, hello,
Shot or Cameron.
I did some checking into this, and I talked to the county clerk, and the person is appointed until the term is up on that person. Just like Ann said.
And then that person could make a choice to run again.
Correct. That's what I was told by the county clerk.
All right, thank you.
Did we lose Tom? Mm-hmm. Hello? Uh-oh.
It's frozen on my screen.
We've lost Tom, it seems like. So, in the interest of moving forward, is everybody okay if I just continue with the agenda until Tom comes back?
Sure.
All right, so...
Vice Chair.
Let's see, new business, 7B sewer inspection equipment purchase.
Yeah, in your board packet, we have got three quotes for sewer inspection equipment. This is, this will do several things for us, but one of the primary things it'll do, it'll allow us to TV our sewer lines to check for a variety of things, slow sewers, broken collection system piping, which might be the source of inflow and infiltration. It will allow us to map the sewer system better than any other tool we currently have. It will assist in our cleaning of our sewer collection systems. And this is a piece of equipment that we have budgeted for. It's a piece of equipment that I feel like we need. One of my goals is to start to get some of the equipment we need to assist us with our jobs and allow us to do our jobs more efficiently. You know, we've got our leak detection equipment. We've got our Vector trailer. This is another piece of the puzzle. This will be a tremendously useful piece of equipment. And as I say, it's something we budgeted for. As required, I have attached quotes for three different pieces of equipment. One thing I will say is that when it comes to this equipment, no two are alike. They all have different features and functions. We've got known as a Iris mainline camera. It's made by Insight Vision. The distributor is RJM. We've got another higher end piece of equipment that is also offered by RJM. It's called the PurePoint sewer monitoring system. And then a third option would be this Gemini robotic pipe crawler by a company called MPE. You know, as I say, these are all different from one another, but also have many similarities as well. We've looked at these and studied these and talked to the manufacturers. And we've got, you know, a couple that are close to the same price. One of them, the Insight Vision, is quoted at just about $35,000. The PurePoint is quite a bit more. It's about $53,700. And then the MPE, which has the Gemini system, is right at, I want to say, 28, right under 29,000. We've looked at this. Leonard and I both have studied these, watched some videos and some other things. And we believe that the Insight Vision offering is the best fit for our needs. It's got all the features we're looking for. It's got like a laptop type of system. The screen is integrated. It's got 600 feet of cable, which should be more than enough for all of our applications. The crawler, it's got a six-wheel crawler, very, very nimble, very versatile, and with the LED light on it, it is, you know, I think it's gonna work great for us. It's got kind of a video game type of control system, which I think will be user-friendly and very functional. Just in looking at the others, you know, one of the primary differences here is that the more expensive one has 1,000 feet of cable instead of 600 feet, which is nice, but I think it's more than we need. One thing I do like better about the PurePoint is the light will follow the camera. Meaning, if you want to pan the camera to the left, the light's going to go to the left, where the other options, it just kind of stays pointing forward. But in seeing these in service, it's not a big factor. I think that the PurePoint is probably a higher-end model than we really need. In looking at the Gemini crawler, there's some things we don't like about it. We don't like the fact it's more of a four-wheel version instead of a six-wheel version. We think it would be more prone to flipping over than the ones with more wheels. But Also, it's seems to be bigger and bulkier. This needs to be something that two guys can easily just load in the back of a truck and go. You know, I can go into a little more detail about the differences, but what I will say is my recommendation is the Insight mainline camera. One of the advantages of it is the rep is, well, he's not local, but he's out of Vancouver, which is close enough. And we will get free training on the use of this if we go with this model, which I think is huge. And, you know, it's a highly rated unit made in America. The other ones that are made overseas, at least I know the PierPoint is. And I think that that's the one that we would choose. Yeah, it's not the cheapest. It's not the most expensive. It's kind of the one right in the middle. And I would ask the board to approve this purchase. I see that the quote's $34,995. I think if we were to say maybe approve a purchase not to exceed $36,000, just to be sure that you know we've got everything covered, I think that would do it. And I would ask the board to approve the purchase of that particular sewer inspection camera.
Hey, Tom, you had a question. Tom, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Great. I'll let you take over.
Okay, Cameron, you had a question?
Sure. John, now, what is our average sewer dimension? I mean, we won't have any problems with the vehicle in our pipe size. We don't have anything too small for that to get into.
Well, this will work for our sewer mains. Our sewer service lines are typically 4-inch. They'll be too small to get into with this device. But the reality of it is, I think it's mainly the sewer mains that we would be primarily concerned about. You know, the problem is all our sewer connections are pretty much 90 degree stub outs from the main, and I don't think any of these cameras would make that corner unless it was a large sewer lateral or a large sewer service. Our sewer services are typically 4-inch, and these aren't really designed for sewer services. There are cleanouts and other ways that we can access those. This is mainly for our sewer mains, which are typically 6, 8, 10-inch pipelines.
So how much line do we have in our system that we would be utilizing? I mean, how much feet-wise do we have? I mean, is it – I'd like to see that we have an abundance so it's utilized.
Well, this will work in every sewer main that we have. It'll work in every sewer lateral I'm aware of. The only place where this would not work would be sewer services, which are in the 4-inch range. But every sewer line we have, this would work perfectly in those.
So you're talking all our mains, anything that is a mainline feed to our pumps, everything down Resort, Rotten, all the stuff in Woods and.
Well, I will say this: that a pressure sewer, this won't work in, but all our gravity sewers, it will.
So this isn't something that could be a dual process for water then. I take it we can't put it in our water lines.
No, this has to be used in gravity sewers. It will not work in pressurized lines. In fact, none of these will work in a pressurized line.
So now you're saying gravity. This is all gravity. How do you get that thing to come back? Put it in reverse?
Put it in reverse.
Pick it up.
Put it in reverse and reel it back. And if for some reason it gets stuck or something, we can reel it in with the cable reel. But we would simply just put this thing in reverse and back it out the same way we drove it in.
So does it have an auto detection of where it is in the ground?
It will, yeah, there is a function on it that you always know how many feet away that the camera is.
And always access by a main lid to get down into it.
You would typically access the pipe through a manhole to launch these things. The typical thing you do is you go to a manhole and you install these in the manhole and run them down to the next manhole, and then you pull it back and move down to the next manhole and do the next section of pipe. Although, like I say, this will get us. I'm pretty sure this one is 600 feet down the pipe, which is which is very useful, and it means that in many applications we'll be able to get even two or three manholes down the pipe before we have to pull it back and reposition.
So what about as far as our tech support?
I'm sorry?
Our tech support. Now, will that be a fee or anything like that?
No.
If we need...
No, with this company being local, not only will we get the free training, but he'll stick with us through this process. I know he will because he's been proving that with our water leak detection equipment, and he's been proving that with our locators. Always available, always willing to help, and there's never an additional charge for that.
Cool. How about a discount since we use them for so much more?
Well, I can ask, but I think he's already given us probably his best price on this unit. It's got a lot of functions on it, and one of the nice things about it is that, you know, at some point we want to do some mapping. We want to, you know, what I'm talking about, even like GIS stuff. I mean, we want to get to the point where we've got quality overlays and quality maps of our system, and the newer stuff we do, but a lot of our existing documentation is not always real accurate. This system will help us map our entire distribution system, and I'm talking about in footage from landmarks. It will map the exact location of every sewer service, every sewer lateral, and my vision for the authority is to bring GIS mapping and other things in as we can to enhance our records and our maps of the system. When you have a problem with the system, if you have a problem with, a sewer problem or other things, it's really nice to have reliable information that tells you exactly how far away is that service line. Exactly how far away is that lateral. But
it's not going to do it with our pressurized system.
It won't work with a pressurized system is the downside.
Okay.
I have one question, John. We did budget for this item, didn't we? Do you recall what that number was?
I believe it was to the tune of $60,000.
This system that you're looking at with the free training is 36, you said?
It's actually $34,995. But you know, as we often do, if I was to suggest not to exceed price, I'd probably add maybe $1,000 onto that just to be sure that there's no confusion or no hang-ups. This one is
$34,995. And did you, I seem to recall that we had a specific protocol for this. Do you remember what that is? Ann, are you with us?
As far as I know, Ann, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
My recollection of the process when we are purchasing equipment is to allow the authority manager some leeway that we feel is appropriate in the price. So I think it would be appropriate, and if we are ready, I will move, make a motion.
Please do.
Okay. I'm hoping everyone can hear me. I will move that we accept the authority manager's recommendation to purchase the IRIS mainline for a price not to exceed $36,000.
Nice. Second.
We have a motion and a second from Cameron to purchase the IRIS mainline camera system, sewer inspection system, at a price not to exceed $36,000. All those in favor, raise your hand, say aye. You approve?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, are there any of those who do not want to purchase this? Hearing none, we have a unanimous decision, and we shall go ahead and purchase. Moving on to the next item, 7C, the Access Road Paving Project. John, I see you have two full bids and the local contractor, SC Paving. Did they ever get back to you?
Well, they strung me along for 7 weeks, telling me they'd give me a bid. I finally had to just tell them that, you know, I needed to have one by the end of the week, and this was a week or two ago, and they backed out. But I did work hard to try to get a third bid from them. I've got documentation that indicates that we did pursue a bid from them for a significant amount of time. Unfortunately, that bid never materialized, and I feel like if there's any hope we're going to get this done before the real winter weather hits, that we need to move forward. I had the other two bids in hand for at least a month waiting for this other contractor. And so what I've got to offer are two bids, one by Geddes Paving, the other one by Road and Driveway. And my recommendation is to go with Geddes on this particular job. Is everybody familiar about this particular project and what we're trying to do here? This is the North Access Road to our public works yard, to our wastewater treatment plant and into the back of our offices. This is a road that has been a chronic issue in terms of potholes, and it's been a high maintenance road. We've had to get the backhoe out and do some grading on this multiple times every year, just because it's always been a high maintenance issue. The road is often rough enough that it's hard on our vehicles. It doesn't get a huge amount of traffic by contractors or delivery drivers, but this is where they come in as well. And sometimes the contractors or the delivery drivers are driving big rigs, and they have a tendency to chew the road up a little bit too. We'd like to pave this, lessen the wear and tear on our vehicles, and create a situation where we're not always having to maintain it. And it's a job we have budgeted for. We've got a quote for $33,015.56 from Road and Driveway. The interesting thing about their quote is they, although I asked, based on my measurements, I asked for a quote for 9,600 feet. This person measured it and somehow came up with a different number than I did. He's quoting us for 8,500 square feet. I do want to say, too, that when I asked for these quotes, I asked each contractor to also quote us at for an option of having two-inch lifts on the depth of the asphalt, which would essentially give us a total four-inch depth, and also just a standard three-inch depth. I think a three-inch depth for this application is sufficient. And so the Road and Driveway is quoted over 33,000 for 8,500 square feet, 3 inches deep. And Geddes has quoted us 31,260 for 9,600 square feet, which is what I asked them to quote for. So Geddes is, they're looks like they are about $1,800 cheaper and offering us 1,100 square feet more asphalt than Road and Driveway is. Which makes them a better choice economically. I will say that Geddes was the first to respond to my request, and they were very responsive. And my recommendation is to award this contract to Geddes Paving. Again, I would, based off of their quote, I would like to see us add just a little more latitude on this job, just because, you know, there could be some unexpected things or some unknown things. So I would ask the board to approve awarding this paving contract to Geddes Paving, and I would suggest that it be for an amount not to exceed $35,000.
I did notice, John, that the quote from Geddes also had two-inch lifts, so it would be a four-inch thick paving instead of a three that you thought was all you needed. I kind of disagree with that. You have a lot of heavy equipment, dump trucks and such, coming in there. I think the 4 inch is better, and this is even a better price.
Well, what I will say, if you look closely at that quote, Tom, under option two, they have a price for the two-inch lifts in parentheses. That's not part of the breakdown in the far right column.
So you still think 3 inches is good enough?
Well, I can say that, you know, most of the time, I mean, and a lot of times there's already a layer down. And oddly enough, it does look like this was paved at one point in time. There's just not a lot of it left over there. We budgeted for enough to do a 4-inch lift. You know, a 4-inch would be $42,720 for Geddes. And it would be, I'm trying to see here.
40,456.
It would. For the 4-inch lift, it's odd that road and driveway are giving us a better price for the 4-inch lift, but also keep in mind that they're quoting us for 1,100 square feet less.
I noticed that. Yes, I did. You're right. So you think 3-inch will get us by?
I think 3-inch will get us by. We do get some heavy vehicles through there, but it's not like they're coming through continually. We occasionally drive, we take our dump truck and our sledge truck out there, but, it's only a couple of times a month typically. We do get delivery drivers, but it's not like of course, it's getting the traffic of, say, a normal road like Cape Kiwanda Drive. There will be some heavy vehicles, but I think that knowing that, the heavy vehicles through there will be limited. My gut tells me, Tom, that 3 inches is should be enough.
Okay, then. Cameron, you have a question, and then Ann or Sean afterwards, if you have any ideas. Cameron, go ahead.
Yeah, now this is going to go from the road or the gate there, the front gate where you guys come in through the back. Will it go through to the back of the back gate at all?
Yes.
To the plant?
Yeah, this particular paving job, and we could use some additional paving inside our yard, but wanting to not bite off too much all at once, this paving job will go from our perimeter chain link fence gate that's over by the access road to the wells. It'll go from that gate and it'll come around behind our garage buildings. It'll make that corner and go up past that metal gate and will connect with Cape Kiwanda Drive. The width of the road will be about 20 feet for most of the distance, but it will flare out wider as it approaches Cape Kiwanda Drive, so that we're looking at about a 35-foot length of asphalt right where it will meet the pavement that already exists on Cape Kiwanda Drive, if you follow what I mean.
Right. Where the big wear and tear of pushing asphalt out is going to be your corners coming through the gates there. I mean, that's where your big push out is going to be, where you it sloughs off. So, man, if we could, I mean, if it's something that needs to be done, I think we should have Get It do it. Now, is there a what would a bid be for to them to do a overlay on that, to do a sealer, because that protects it even more?
Yeah, I didn't pursue that. I imagine they could be sealed for significantly less than it can be laid. But I haven't checked into that. I believe the sealing is sealing it's probably a good idea. But I think that would we could tackle that as an add-on. I believe we budgeted $50,000 for this job.
So if we stay under $50,000, it gets to do that, and if they could do a spray, and keep it under $50,000, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I would too. I would just be a little uncomfortable adding it as part of this job, because that wasn't part of the criteria for the other folks or the other company that bid on it. But we could certainly bring them back and have them do that and use the money we saved to pay for that.
Right, because it stays right there. It's still budgeted for, and that's still part of that same project, correct?
Yeah, I think we could use whatever we don't spend in the budget for this job. I think that would free up some money to do some sealing. And I would have to guess that they could do do that for, you know, for fairly cheap. Certainly for a cost I wouldn't have to come to the board to get approval for.
So what's our timeline for this project to get done? I mean, where are these guys out?
As you guys can imagine, all paving companies are busy. My sincere hope is that we could get this done this fall. I'm thinking hopefully next month. If we have to wait till spring, just because of we're starting to enter into fall and rainy weather, and it's harder to pave, you do get breaks where you can get it done. Even if this job didn't get done until March of next year, if that's the reality of it, I think that's okay. I would just like to be able to land the contract and to get on the schedule.
So it will be at that price then, even if it got extended?
That's my understanding. Right here on their quote, they do warn that, you know, it's possible that the jobs can get pushed out, but they seem to indicate or at least imply that they would honor the price, and that would have to be a condition. But you know, it is a seasonal type of thing, as one of our difficulties, and we are running out of season. When they gave me the quote and I talked to them, they felt confident that they could get it done this fall.
All right, Sean, do you have a comment?
Nope.
Ann, do you have a comment, Ann?
My comment or two, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, to the point of a motion, this is a contract for services as opposed to a purchase of equipment, and I believe that is the distinction that you are on, that when we're accepting a bid of contract for services, we are required to provide a bid for that exact amount.
Oh, okay.
And so I will move that we accept the Benetis paving for the paving detail for the amount of $31,260.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
No second.
We have a motion by Ann and a second by Sean to accept the Benetis paving a bid of $31,260. To pave the access road, the north access road, and other areas behind the shop. All those in favor, signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
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 That's a unanimous result. So we will get that done, John.
Thank you.
Okay, item 7D, the Ruppel Pipeline Engineering Contract. I looked at their scope of work. I didn't know that was the contract was separate. Is there a contract, John? I saw the scope document.
You know what? I think I misworded this.
Isn't it?
What's that?
Never mind. Go ahead.
My goodness. I thought they had something for us to sign for that. That was. I might be wrong about that. Maybe I'm. Let me take a look
what
here.
What you provided us in the packet was a document by Parametrics showing the scope of work and a timeline for that Ruppel pipeline, but there wasn't a bid or the contract for their deliverables at all.
I'm sorry, everybody. I thought for sure that we had. I thought for sure that we had something attached to that scope of work. Well, that's not going to help us, is it?
Well, it tells us what they want to do with Footbury Professor.
Well, we've got. Okay, I'm terribly sorry. I don't know how I missed that. I thought for sure they had something attached to that scope of work, and I may have gotten it confused with the contract extension for the wastewater master plan.
So, John?
Yeah?
I have a question on this subject. My understanding from the financial document that totaled all of the costs was that bottom line of $151,819 reflect that would be completed in accepting this scope of work proposal.
Where's that at, Ed?
This is preparation for actually doing the job, but it's the engineering and the design work and everything else that's described in the scope of work. That all takes engineering time and effort and trips out here and meetings with that kind of stuff, and there's a cost to all of that, and that's $151,819. So my impression was that what we would be doing tonight is reviewing the scope of work for information and what would be accomplished. And their services. This is not on the ground moving stuff around, moving dirt, going under roads. This is the design process of the project.
That is exactly correct. And we've got a schedule, we've got a budget, we've got a scope of work. Is this enough to?
What's the budget?
The budget is actually the very, you're going to have to probably blow it up a little bit on your computer, Tom. It's the, it's after page 7 of the scope of work.
It goes into infinite detail about how many different engineers, what the cost per engineer would be given.
Okay, I can't even read it.
Their rank and experience goes into.
Holy, I can't either.
Let me see if I can blow this up and share it. Maybe that would be a good way to go. I'll get you a better copy. This is Ann came in and I had to blow it up on almost poster sized paper just to have her be able to see it. Let's see here. There we go. Tom, do you have a plus button on your screen under the document? Or, you know, it's a PDF. And of course, the more you hit the plus button, the more blurry the numbers get. Well,
I can't get at the document. I'm afraid it would be too much for the. I'm just looking at it. I think I found what you were talking about, and I just have. There's no way I can read it. How much is that? You say $115,000.
It was the total cost of all the engineering, surveying, preparation of documents to include in this. This kind of sounds in a way like the administrative.
Yes. That's the way I read it also, but I
have angle on a project like this. Just a second, because the final project's complete. So the scope of work is what we engineers will do for you from start to finish of the job. And it, the total amount of money for all of those services was $151,819.
Okay.
And that includes the preparation of bid documents, the job announcement, the RFP. They'll manage all of that process too. Anzrat, it covers surveying. It covers, to some extent, construction management. It covers the creation of the drawings and everything related to that. Now, granted, this is also a quote by Parametrics. I will say that they largely have the scope of work created already with some small revisions. My understanding is this is the second or third time that we've actually tried to get this project launched, more or less. And they had actually created this scope of work for us, and I think shared it with us at some point in the past. They have made some minor changes. For example, there was some discussion that the county would pave the road for us after the work's done. Well, this is a local access road. The county's not going to pave it for us. So they pulled that out. Yeah, I apologize about the resolution of the budget they've got there. I think that's pretty important information. I've got to make sure you guys get a copy of that. I also know, though, that if we're going to be ready to complete this job this summer, that the work's got to pretty much begin already. There's a lot to do, probably starting with the surveying and stuff like that.
You're actually going to work next summer, correct? We're done with summer now.
Well, yeah, this we need to start now to be ready to do this in July of next year.
Yes,
I totally agree, but I am uncomfortable not being able to see that whole or understand that whole document.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
I'm thinking of tabling this for now. Sean, do you have a comment? Sean?
Yep, I do. Two comments. One, I concur. I can't read this at all. Even when I blow it up, it seems to make it worse. But I'll trust you on the details. But one comment I have is that this is within the flood plain this is in the flood way as opposed to the flood plain. So has that been taken into account, and development within the flood way is much more tricky with the county than development in the flood plain?
And you mean tricky not just in terms of timing phases of the project to correspond with potential flooding events? Are you indicating that there's administratively something else to consider?
That is correct. Yeah. Any development that you need to do within the floodway, as far as Tillamook County and FEMA is concerned, right now is a sticky situation, and it requires no-rise studies. It requires a significant amount more bureaucratic effort than if you were to do this outside of the floodway. So I want to make sure that is included in this scope of work. If Parametrics is in fact interacting with the county in terms of those kinds of developments and permits and stuff.
Sean, can I comment? Or Tom, can I comment on that?
Sure.
I totally understand where you're coming from. And if this were the construction step, that would absolutely be a tripping point and a complicated issue when working with the county. But my understanding of this is that what we're doing is replacing an existing underground water line where it is currently 2 inches in diameter, and you're not any flood rise because we're not doing anything above ground in terms of structure. And there is a comment in the scope of work, I can't remember exactly which one it is, but there is a comment in there that no permits would be required. I believe that may be possibly not. We're simply replacing an existing line underground, sorry. I got water on the mind. So I don't believe that is an issue in this case.
I would definitely want to find out for sure.
Yeah, that's my point in bringing it up, is that I would not want to take it for granted at all.
No, I think we need the engineering in the scope of work to include very careful coordination with any and all Tillamook County offices.
Absolutely.
That they have an opinion.
Well said. I agree. Cameron, you have a comment.
Boy, I do. I tell you what, I know those people are going to be none too thrilled to have their road chewed up and not get it blacktopped. I think that we need either to come through with the water sewer, because with the SCC charges and everything, that we need to asphalt that road. Because it's going to be no different than the access road back behind the plant and stuff. I think we should strongly look at blacktopping that road. I don't know what you other guys think, but yeah.
I don't think it would be fair to all of the ratepayers that provide the funds for these projects to selectively choose to completely repave one road. I think we have an expectation, and it's in our rules somewhere specifically, that any disruption that we do to a road, we repair. And we would do that as a part of this process because that is our obligation. I think there are other avenues that residents on the street could pursue, because this is a local access road. Residents on the street could pursue possibly a local improvement district to add to whatever repaving we're going to do because of whatever disruptions we have an obligation to repair. And I think that any group of citizens can petition the road department via the road advisory committee for an accommodation in this kind of situation, to work with, possibly if they formed a local improvement district, they could maybe work with us and with the county for those three parties to come together to accomplish that end result, which, Cameron, I think we all agree would be the desired end point. I think there has to be serious consideration, though, of all the factors in how we get there.
Well, we've got 42 connections on there, and we're going to be digging up the whole straightaway of road. So I either think we need to make sure the people that are on that street are made aware of it, and that we have some meetings to let these people know this is what's going on, and so that's my 2 cents into that shot.
Well, I'll say this at this point, there is obviously several points of contention that might cause us some serious problems, even looking at the document that scope that Parametrics has provided us. I suggest that we table this particular item, bring it up again at the next meeting, or however meetings we need to follow up with, to have staff follow up with the county and with Parametrics. and make sure they understand how critical it is. And in the meantime, I think it might be not be a bad idea because it is the worst and most needed repair we have in our system.
Is there any chance of getting another bid instead of Parametrics on this?
No, I wouldn't think so. They've been working on it before. It wouldn't be practical. But what I'm thinking is we need to table this and get some more data and work on it some more. I know that it's critical to our system because it's the one that causes us the most headaches, but let's get it done right, is the way I look at it. So we'll go ahead and table that and move on to the next issue.
Okay, Tom, just one last comment. In tabling this, which I guess we kind of have to do given the discussion, I do think that this is a project that the authority has been discussing for many months, if not years, and that it is an important thing to support that the people that live along that street. So I don't want to lose sight of the benefit to the people that live there of this
Absolutely.
Project. So I'd like to not see it delayed too long. So on that,
I agree.
In that sense, I would like to encourage my fellow board members to get from Tom the printed out version of the costs.
Yeah.
And you see cost line items for each of the engineers involved in the project and associated administrative costs and everything else. It's very detailed. It's very well laid out. And read the entire scope of work very carefully. And before we meet again to discuss this, to address any questions that you have to John, so that he has an opportunity to answer them or get answers from the engineers. So that we're not trying to negotiate in a board meeting about this. We should all come to the table well informed with our basic questions answered.
Okay, I agree, Ann.
Thank you.
Good idea.
And I just wanted to say, apologize for the resolution on that. I should have caught that, and I didn't. And I think it's one of the things that has hung us up. And I apologize for the inconvenience, but we'll get you the information you need. And I'll have to talk to Parametrics as well, too, because I thought there'd actually be a document that would be signed to give them the notice to proceed, and obviously I was mistaken about that. I think I convinced myself that the master plan contract extension was that, but it obviously is not. So I'll get you the information you need, and we will follow up about some of those concerns. I'll talk to Parametrics, and with their help and with me kind of guiding this through, I think that putting this off one more month is as far as we can do it and still hope to get the job done probably by summer of next year. So it's something that we'll want to be able to move on as soon as we can. And I've just got to get you guys better information so that you can make those decisions.
Could I suggest we swapped on extensions.
We're extending theirs, and they're going to have to extend our little...
There you go, right?
Well, can I also suggest that the board consider the possibility of a special meeting when we get this information in case we can get it in a pretty timely fashion out to the board members? Could we consider a brief special meeting for this topic only?
Sure, I would consider that. I just want to make sure, John, that John's point about the difference between a floodplain and a flood, what do you call it, floodway, John? that they understand what the difference is and how that reflects Tillamook County's permits and necessities. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of the wastewater master plan compact extension, now would be a good time to entertain a motion to do that.
Yeah. Go ahead, then.
Oh.
Sure.
And go ahead.
I'll move that we extend the, I'm looking for the right language here, the professional services agreement that we have an extension of time to December 31st, 2022, with all other terms and conditions remaining unchanged and in full force and effect.
For the wastewater master plan?
Yes, thank you. For the wastewater master plan.
Okay, we have a second.
We'll second it with the provision that if that is not on your desk on November 1st, I'm going to be very upset.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion to extend the wastewater master plan contract to December 31st with all other agreements still in force. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
We have a unanimous vote. Okay, so looks like item 7F, we all need to sign our authorized signers for the TLC. Who's that?
I believe, if I could, Tom, I believe that there are three signers on that account. Traditionally, it's been the chair of the board, I believe the authority manager, and the vice chair. And if Rochelle was here, she'd be able to walk us through this, but I did have a chance to talk with her briefly about it because I am currently a signer on that account. A current signer has to sign authorizing new signers, and so I have to remain as a signer on the account to authorize new signers to be accepted onto the account. And so what I would propose, as I think Rochelle had described the process to me, was that the current chair of the board and the authority manager would be authorized as signers on the TLC account, and I would remain because I'm the only one that can authorize within TLC. I'm the only one that can authorize those changes.
Do we have to go to Salem to do this, or can we?
No, no. TLC is Tillamook.
Tillamook.
Yeah.
Lincoln City.
No, well, Tillamook is the home branch, and that's where all the processing of these signature cards is and stuff. That
So we all have to meet there sometime?
No, you don't have to meet there. I believe that if I recall the process before, I would go and authorize a new signature card that would reflect Tom and John as signers. And then each of you independently would go there, and the process would not be completed until both of you had signed the signature card.
Okay.
But we need, I believe we need a motion tonight to designate the authorized signers on that account.
Okay. Would then, to go one step further, would after we're authorized signers, would we have to authorize Sean to be a signer?
We could take that up at another time if we felt the need to do that. I'm sure we could. But we have to get this first step in place first. Because right now, if I drop off as a signer, there are no signers that can authorize any changes.
Oh, I see. Do we need to have a copy of the minutes shown to them?
I believe in most banking practices, yes, we do, and I believe they have to be approved minutes, but in some cases with other banks, we have been able to have the bank listen to a recording of the meeting and accept that in lieu of approved minutes.
I see. Okay.
I'm not making a promise about that part. I don't know how they operate.
Sean?
I move that we authorize Ann Price to authorize John Wesley and Tom Donahue to be signers of the PCJWSA TLC account.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to authorize Ann Price to authorize myself and John as authorized signatories for what?
I'm sorry, I have to add something I forgot. We also have to, as a part of the motion, remove Carolyn McVicker and Kirk Medina. I believe.
Okay.
I will restate my motion. I propose that we authorize Ann Price to authorize John Wesley and Tom Donahue to be official signers of the PCJWSA TLC account, and to also remove Carolyn McVicker and Kirk Medina from said account.
Do we have a second? We have a second. I'm amazed you were still listening. So we have a motion on the floor. I'm not going to repeat this. Y'all heard it. Well done. It was well done. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposition? Thank you all. Well, that was a piece of work. We earned our pay on that one, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Under new business, the last item, 7G, BLM Property Development. I talked with John at length when we were putting the agenda together, and I think he came up with a pretty good idea how we can maintain our commitment to BLM, and that is to form a citizen steering committee of those interested in ways to help develop this property, as well as ways to raise monies to take care of the development that's needed under our agreement with BLM. John, you might want to explain that a little better than I did.
Now, Tom, when you say development, I'm thinking housing.
No. We have a contract with BLM to develop that property. By develop that property, the contract states recreational trails and invasive species removals and things like that. So, John, would you explain your steering committee idea a little better?
Yeah, and I guess I would just say I'm not sure I would call it a contract as much as a lease agreement. I believe that's the best way to describe it. Brought this up, as you all know, in my manager's report and in at the last board meeting. We have obligations that we have made as part of this lease agreement. We're having trouble keeping up with those obligations, mainly because I think it was envisioned when we entered into this agreement that there would be more community support more community organizations that would take a lead role in this. That never occurred, and we are having trouble not only from a just a strictly a manpower perspective, as well as a funding perspective. We've got some unanswered questions about how we're going to proceed with fulfilling the obligations of this lease agreement. I know that there's some additional lines of thought about possibly modifying the agreement. I do know that there's some thoughts about whether it's even appropriate for our utility to invest its time and efforts into an endeavor like this. I think that's a far bigger question. It might be a question that a steering committee can help us with. It's just that I know I can't do this alone. I can't do it with the current resources at my disposal. And we need some community involvement to help this, to help move this forward, if that's indeed what we would desire to do. And so the only way I know how to do this, the best suggestion I can give the board is that I do believe we need a citizens' steering committee, advisory committee, call it what you want, but we need some additional support and some additional help, and just somebody to keep us moving in the right direction on this. The only thing that I can think of that would help us to achieve that would be the formation of a steering committee of some kind. And my suggestion is that we advertise for members of such a steering committee and see what kind of response or support we get with that. Without it, I honestly don't know how we get this done. And I really don't have any other thoughts or ideas or solutions to offer to the board about ways to keep this moving. And that's why I brought it to the board's attention. And whatever the board would like to do is up to the board, but that would be my recommendation.
And you have a comment.
I do. I like the idea of a steering committee. I think it would broaden the conversation beyond those of us on the board who may or may not know a lot about the history of this and where we are currently with our obligations, and reflect what the community might want to do going forward. I do caution, though, that when we enter into the formation of an advisory group, which a steering committee would be, that we are working with a variety of public interests, PCJWSA ratepayers, whom we are directly responsible to. We're also working with the BLM, a federal agency. We also exist, all of us, in a county with a county government with a lot of similar interests and goals in terms of recreation and that kind of thing. So if we go the route of forming a steering committee, I think that we should endeavor to, rather than advertise, y'all come, I think we should endeavor to identify what we think are
stakeholders?
Stakeholders, exactly. Okay. Thank you so much, John. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Certainly, Charter of the Stakeholders public that live here within the district. BLM and the county, and there are others we may identify through this conversation that are also stakeholders and have expertise and knowledge about rules and regulations and contracts and that kind of thing. You know, for example, we might want to have some legal representation on this group because we do have a contract with a federal agency. A lot of times we want to focus on managing the invasive species, but that frankly is a pretty minor part of this. There are many other issues. If we're talking about possibility, for example, of evacuation sites or building a reservoir or any number of other things that were suggested in the original discussions, I think there are some concrete, serious planning and legal and financial issues here to be examined. So I like the stakeholder idea, but I would like it to be focused and have representation that would actually bring expertise and advice that would be helpful to us in making any decisions we make going forward.
Scott, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I would say, at the risk of running this meeting extra long, I don't want to get too deep into this, but, we have had discussions over the past 2.5 years of having some sort of a public outreach type meeting where we have been talking about presenting the master plans, some sort of giant public forum where we would be getting back on our community relations kick. And I would suggest tabling this until we have that kind of a meeting and put it out to the public then, as opposed to creating some sort of a steering committee. I got to be honest, I'm very lukewarm on the idea of some sort of a steering committee right now, but I do very much like the idea of when we come to have that public engagement type community center meeting, that we throw this out. We say, hey, look, this is a lease that we have. This is an obligation that we have. We would very much like the public's input in it. And I don't see a huge urgency to deal with it right now, but we're going to be getting to that public outreach community meeting sooner rather than later would be my expectation. And I think this would be a great opportunity to include that in that type of a meeting.
Thank you. Cameron, do you have any comment?
Yeah, I was reading back on the agreement, I think last month and stuff, and I think it'd be to contact the people that was on that group that, you know, was planning that, maybe to inform them that what's going on. John, what kind of jeopardy are we in as far as the agreement timeline of anything? Are we in a pickle or anything like that? I don't want to see us lose it. I mean, I think it's a far valuable asset, but at the expense of a lot of money, you know, I don't want to see it where it puts a big hole in us.
Well, what I'll say is that there was a schedule put together that was supposed to get us through the first 10 or 15 years, and then the idea was to kind of regroup and talk about some of the projects that were identified and later in the contract, like years 15 through 25. I will say the environmental impact study only applies to the first, it's either the first 10 or 15 years of the agreement, and it only applies to the things that we've identified we would do within the first 10 or 15 years of the agreement. So anything beyond that is still kind of contingent on a number of things. I don't think even though there's a tentative schedule and we might be behind in a couple of areas, I don't think that's an issue. BLM is not policing us on our obligations with this. I would expect BLM at some point to contact us. Although it's a smaller issue and probably one of our smaller obligations, it's one of the most visible things, and I'm talking about the invasive species stuff. If we do get a call by BLM questioning our obligations anytime soon, I think it would only be to inquire about why we may not be keeping up with the invasive species that we agreed to control. Everything else, I think, has a lot of flexibility, and I think we can definitely table this for a while. I want to say we're in year 7 of a 25-year agreement, so I think we've got time. And if we'd like to table this, this is a complicated issue, and I don't think we're going to solve any problems today. I think that Sean's suggestion to approach the public with it the same way we'd like to reach out to the community in other ways, I think that might make sense. And you know, we can always form a steering committee thereafter if we decide that it's the way to go. I will say that I don't think we have a huge amount of time, but I certainly think that we've got enough time to table this until we have some of those other conversations that Sean alluded to.
So what kind of invasive species are we looking at? Tansy, ivy?
It's primarily Scotch broom, primarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I think we will just go ahead and table that, and Sean's idea has merit, and I think we'll move in that direction. So let's move on to item 8, guest questions and comments. Included in our packet this month was a letter to the board from Mr. Richard Potempa. I apologize if I did not pronounce his name correctly, but he is concerned about his home, a property here that has, he filed for a short-term short-term rental agreements with the county that ended on the 1st of July, and they're not going to be using it that way until, I believe it was the 1st of the year, and he wanted to, because his rate would go up considerably, specifically, it would be from $8.50 to $51. Or the, what would that be, the capital improvement for a vacation rental. And I don't see how we're going to do that, but y'all read his letter, so we should probably comment on it, Ann. Lost Ann.
Thank you. I'm sorry. The figures that you just quoted, the dollar amounts, I don't see reflected in his letter. I do understand the issue. I'm sympathetic to it, to the situation. The situation was basically prompted by the county's decision to suspend temporarily the issuance of new short-term vacation rental permits. I think we can all understand, if we follow the county's discussions, why they made that decision. But these are decisions that are made by the county, and while they do have impact on residents in an unincorporated area such as Pacific City Woods, I don't think that our current policy when it comes to billing structure has any provision for exceptions. And it certainly, I don't think we really ourselves as an authority have any flexibility on this issue. And just further as a personal comment, I don't think it would be appropriate for us to put the authority into the role of monitoring use of vacation rentals. The vacation rental permit is a county level governmental permit. We have no involvement in granting or approving that permit. And I think that to go down this path would put us in a position of having to monitor, okay, exactly what is your use? And I just don't think that would be an appropriate direction to go. So while, again, I'm very sympathetic to the situation, it's something that I think is outside of our outside of our authority, yeah, because we are not involved in implementing the county short-term vacation rental program. So I hope that's been clear.
Cameron, you have a comment.
Yes, we've had this discussion before with other properties that have wanted to switch on and off with their vacation property. I think it would be a nightmare for us to go back and forth to who's on first, who's on second, who's coming home and staying home. We're not in that. We're a utility. We're public. We're a utility. We are just in business to provide water and sewer service. This is what our rates, this is what it stands for. People want to put their houses on vacation rentals, fine. You went through the county and went through the permit system, great. They manage it, they take care of it. We just do our job. So I'm sorry, people make the decision to rent their houses out and go by this process, then this is what it entails. So be it. I just don't think we should change our bylaws, standards, our procedures, or anything. This is what it is. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. John,
yeah, I just wanted to mention that meeting invites for this meeting were sent to two other concerned citizens who were interested in attending the meeting and addressing the board tonight. I'm looking at the participants, and I'm not seeing that they are here, but before we get too deep in our thought process, I just wanted to make sure, in case there's somebody that's waiting to have a turn to speak to the board, just want to be sure that there's not somebody waiting in the wings. If there is, please chime in now, but if my participation button's working, it doesn't look like those people decided to join. I did want to, you guys know I kind of gave you all a bit of a warning that we've received a lot of phone calls from concerned citizens, and I just wanted to be sure that they weren't actually on the call. It doesn't look like they are. I'll pause for a minute just to be sure somebody doesn't speak up, but I don't see where they're with us.
The only ones okay. I see that's on there is Leonard Whiteman.
Well, and actually, he's not. He's not even with us. Yeah. No, it looks like it's just the five of us. So I was expecting a couple of other concerned members of the community to join the meeting tonight, but it looks like we can go ahead and if anybody else has additional thoughts about it. I would just say that it's the board's decision largely, but I do agree. We just can't get in a position where we're keeping track of who's renting their property or who's living in it in any given month. That's just my two cents worth for the board's consideration.
Thank you, John. Well, I guess there are no other questions or comments, so we'll move on to item 9, the chair and director comments. Does anybody, the only thing I had to say, and then I'll walk away here, is to congratulate our staff, who just completed his or her certifications. I think it's admirable that you're stepping up to the plate and trying to do well for our utility, and I personally appreciate it. Please pass my comments on, John.
I will.
Cameron.
Yes, I took a class a week ago. It was an SDA class, awesome class. Learned some new stuff. I do believe me and Mr. Donahue are getting our 2%, so we get 10% off. I go to another class on Thursday. I did learn some new stuff. Pass on to Rochelle. When we vote, we have to have it in our minutes who voted yay and nay for all the stuff.
Yeah.
That needs to be on there. I'm glad. Nice to see our employees stepping up, taking the training, and doing all that. It's a credit to you, John. I really do. I think we're heading in a great direction, and I'm sure we've got quite a few. I think we've got some awesome, some side meetings to go on, and we'll play catch up with other things. But I think we've got a great board, and whoever the next person coming on, I welcome them wholeheartedly.
Well, thank you, and I do want to, I had actually meant to do this, and thank you for the reminder. Wanted to recognize you and Tom. I've got a copy of a completion certificate with your name on it. I'm not sure how it came to us, but, just wanted to say congratulations to you. Appreciate you taking a lead and doing that, and kudos to you as well, Cameron, and Tom as well.
Oh my gosh, there was two individuals from another organization, and I felt I was appalled of the things that they were doing, and it's like I can't believe that they're actually doing this stuff that where I look at us and like, wow, we've moved way beyond. It's so impressive. It really is. It wasn't just fire department. It was other water sewer districts, other airport municipalities, and all other things. It is quite interesting. I do enjoy going to classes. I don't like the online stuff, but there's something you can learn and find out from other departments.
Sure.
Think they're doing well. So,
yeah.
I think we're pretty fortunate.
Well, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
John, do you have any comments before we adjourn?
No, just thank you to Dale.
Yeah, I would just add those same 2 cents. I so appreciate Dale and I think it was Charles last month that completed a certification or two maybe.
Yep.
And I want to echo, I think, Cameron's comments about how this is a major credit to them for doing the work and pursuing it, but it's also a credit to John for his leadership and just making that happen, making the space and time and energy and encouragement to make that happen. So I think we're making real progress as an authority in increasing certifications among our staff, and that is a benefit to not only the authority, which we're all responsible for, but also to those individual employees in terms of their long-term future and development within the organization and wherever they might go from here. So So I think it's just a win-win-win. Thank you.
Well, with that said, I think it is now 7:08, and we shall adjourn. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time this evening.
I show 7:39.
Oh, I guess you're right.
One meeting tonight.
I'm reading that right off of my computer.
It's been lovely spending the evening with you. Bye.
Everybody be...
So it's just you and the kids there.